Today's podcast is brought to you by the Herzog Foundation. Tim Ballard from the hit movie Sound of Freedom joins us today. What he has to say about the Biden administration's open border policy is shocking. Plus, a drone expert gives us his take on those massive drones that were seen in New Jersey late last year. Stay with us. This is the Moms for America podcast. Each week, leaders and everyday champions tell personal stories, share advice, and tackle the issues most important to moms. Hi, moms. I'm Debbie Corlitis, your host, and welcome to the Moms for America podcast. So glad to have you again this week. Every episode, we get together to inspire, encourage, and educate moms in their journey through motherhood. All right, moms, let's get on to today's program. Well, we met up with Tim Ballard recently at CPAC, and Tim has spent over a decade working as a special agent for the Department of Homeland Security. There, he worked as an undercover operative helping to dismantle child trafficking rings in the U.S. and in multiple foreign countries. After his tenure working with DHS, Tim left to start his own non-for-profit, which is chronicled in the famous movie Sound of Freedom. Saving children is the fight of his life, which he continues to this day. Many of you know the man sitting at the table here, Sound of Freedom. Your story was amazing. What you have done to save children, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ballard is at the table here. We call him the Anti-Child Trafficking Task Force man himself. Thank you, Tim, for stopping by.
Thank you for what you guys are doing.
We're all on the same page.
Exactly.
We're all worried about our kids.
Yep.
We're worried about America. We're worried about our freedom. All of a sudden, it seems like just yesterday was the movie came out.
Yeah.
And it was, everybody went to go see that movie. Were you just surprised?
I was shocked. I mean, when the producers came to me, I don't know, 8 years ago, and said they wanted to do a movie about this, I told them it's a very bad idea because no one's going to show up. I can't even get my neighbors to talk to me about what I'm seeing and what I'm doing.
Because this topic was so heavy.
It was so heavy. And, you know, the movie came out. It was done 5 years before it came out. Done.
Right.
And Disney owned it, shelved it. Every studio turned it down. And I was like, I told you. I warned you. But then at the right time, God touched enough hearts, over 100 million around the world. And I understand it's the second highest grossing independent film of all time.
I mean, what?
So it opened eyes, and there's literally bills around the world called the Sound of Freedom Act, and God has blessed us with doors opening everywhere. I could basically go visit almost any president. I even had Vladimir Putin invite me to Moscow to screen it with him.
Wow.
So I was working to rescue Ukrainian kids at the time, so I declined the invitation. But we can basically access the government leaders that we need to, and that's what we've been busy doing these last years since the movie, is going and helping them reorganize and implement anti-trafficking programs, how to do it effectively, efficiently, and of course campaigning for the trafficking on the border. And I mean, that's just a mess that if people knew the truth, they would be absolutely sick at what Biden and Kamala have willfully done.
They're
the two biggest traffickers in the world, in my opinion. They have more blood of children on their hands than anyone, if you know the details. I spent 10 years on that border as an undercover operator,
right. And
they continued working. And so few of us understood what was happening. It was willful. They knew what they were doing. It's no coincidence as they opened the border.
So when you say it's willful, they knew what they were doing.
So let me break down how the
because that sounds just too broad to me. I'm like,
yeah,
okay.
Let's talk. So everything I'm going to tell you, I personally briefed to Kamala Harris and the entire Senate Judiciary Committee.
Right.
So claiming ignorance won't pass.
Right.
So basically, when you look at like smuggling drugs, right? There's three steps.
Okay.
Okay. The first one is acquisition, easiest.
Okay.
Okay. The last two are very difficult, which makes the price of the drug, if you get past steps two and three, it triples in price, the cocaine, right?
I see.
And that's crossing the border, and that's delivery to the consumer.
Okay.
Okay. That's the dangerous part. That's what makes the drugs go up. Same with children, right? The acquisition of the children is easy. I met last year with the president of Honduras. The next day, the president of Guatemala, one super conservative, one super socialist. They didn't care. They both said, our children are disappearing at rates we've never seen before, and we know they're being sucked into the United States. So what's going on is it was very politically calculated. Open the borders, right. Let the kids in. 60, 70 million illegals come in. It's no coincidence that Kamala Harris, at the very same time, was going around the United States trying to pass no voter ID. So it was a political power move.
Sure, sure.
They think 60, 70 million people are going to vote Democrat, mm-hmm. even though most Latin Americans, their hearts are conservative if they don't understand.
Voting against their values.
Yeah. So, but the point is this, those last two steps were being performed by the Biden-Harris administration.
Right. Because they were the setup.
Because here's what they did. They go to the kids come in. Yeah. They go to DHS, passes them off to Health and Human Services, who pass them off to these NGOs. NGOs that you would trust, like Catholic Charities, who probably started with good intent. But ultimately what happens, based on laws and precedents like the Flores settlement, things of the past that were well-intended but ultimately malicious, is if a child shows up, there's a small window of time in which they have to be delivered to family or their sponsor.
Okay.
So with the mask coming in, and they took away the biometrics, the DNA, Trump had them.
Right, they had
Biden
all that testing, right, to prove that that was actually your child, your dog.
As it turns out, when we had those biometrics machines in place, we determined that about 30% of those kids actually belonged to the family that they claimed to be part of.
Okay.
Biden took it away for plausible deniability.
So the other 70%
are children who've been kidnapped, and children that the presidents of Guatemala and Honduras and others are saying were our children. So they go to these NGOs like Catholic Charities and others, and they have a small window to deliver the kids. Well, they know that the phone numbers of the sponsors are written on the kids' arms and a piece of paper, and they've been instructed, the NGOs under Health and Human Services, to call the phone number, confirm that they want this child, no background check, and they
no safety precautions.
Nothing. I mean, I adopted two children that we rescued. Okay, it took us 4 years. I rescued them. It took us even 4 years for the background checks to make sure that these children are going to the proper place. So they treated foreign children like they're pieces of crap. That's what Biden and Kamala did. Because these kids came in, no investigation, one phone call, and our border institutions, our agencies became child trafficking delivery services. Biden and Kamala knew. I can't say what Biden knew,
right.
But Kamala certainly knew. And the administration knew what they were doing. And thank God for people like Tara Rodas and other whistleblowers who were inside those NGOs and came out and said, you won't believe this.
Right.
Because she would do her own personal checks and be like, this guy's a convicted pedophile.
Right.
Send him anyway. They said, Tara, we won't get sued by sending kids to their sponsors. We will get sued if we keep them more than a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. Thus, the United States became the biggest criminal trafficking organization in the world these last 4 years.
Heartbreaking.
Horrifying. Now there's 300,000 plus that are missing. Tom Holman, he's a hero. I think they've identified about 90,000 so far.
Yes, they're just pulling back the veil and they're just...
Well, you got to understand these databases that these NGOs had were being blocked from DHS and FBI. So they couldn't even try to do investigations. Holman busted the doors open as it shows the databases. So now we're trying to find these kids and get them back to their homes. It's been a hell on earth. There's been nothing like institutionalized slavery since, you know, the 19th century. This is almost the equivalent. But it's all hidden and it's all done. It's slavery on its face.
Oh, 100%. And these poor kids.
And Kamala Harris is responsible. Blood on her hands forevermore. Just so she could vie for political power. It's sick. It's grotesque. And she was our border czar.
Right. Right.
Absolutely horrendous.
And you think about the innocence of the child, and I know you saw this firsthand.
I've seen these kids.
Destroyed.
Their lives are destroyed forever.
Their eyes go...
They're almost destroyed forever. There's hope. Yeah. A recovery, but Kamala Harris will have eternal consequences upon her for having done what she knowingly did.
God will judge her and judge her.
And Mayorkas, and don't even get me started.
Right. So now, what they've done with the open borders, clearly they had an agenda. They stole those kids. They sold them. They've destroyed them. They've multi-million dollar industry.
$14 million a day the cartels were making. $14 million a day.
So,
and if you couldn't pay the price, they'll rape you till they get it out of you.
And then they go, if the deliverables don't happen, then they go to their families, their other I mean, there's like this whole...
It's horrifying.
I mean, you know the circle more than I have. I've just watched your movie. I've just listened to this from other people that have... Where are we now? What do you think's going to happen
We're in a pretty good
now?
Place. You know, you got the right guy in charge, Trump and Holman. unbelievable. I wouldn't have guessed they could have found 90,000 in a month, and they have.
How do you find those kids? What does it mean?
You go into the
that's what you did.
So the databases have the kids and the sponsors.
Okay.
No follow-up. I think they have to, there's like a mandatory like 2-month call. Most of the time they don't pick up the phone because they've changed their phones and the kids are gone. I mean, we see patterns where like dozens of kids are being sent to the same address, but no one does a thing about it because they're making billions of dollars. I mean, the CEOs of these NGOs are making millions. We've even caught some of the NGOs on the Mexican side facilitating the trafficking. More kids, more money. I mean, I have to suggest everybody watch James O'Keefe's Line in the Sand. He exposes the whole thing. Step by step, exposes, or anything by Ryan Mata. They're exposing it all. Now Trump's fixing it. One, close the border.
Yep.
Two, remain in Mexico.
Yep.
And ultimately, I was the chairman of the White House Council to End Human Trafficking. The ultimate solution to this problem, after border enforcement, remain in Mexico, just attach all of our immigration, because I'm very pro-immigration. I have two kids who are immigrants.
Sure.
You can be very pro-immigration and anti-human trafficking at the same time.
Of course.
Believe it or not.
Right.
Kamala will tell you otherwise.
Right.
But the truth is, we need to get our institutions, our immigration institutions, our asylum processes as an attachment to our U.S. embassies. Now only the honest will show up. No one's going to take a 3,000 to 5,000 mile dangerous journey. There's no loopholes anymore,
right,
like the Flores settlement.
Okay.
The honest of heart will go and get their asylum in safety and then have safe passage into the United States. That's the ultimate solution that will take all the wind out of the sails of the traffickers. But we're on the right path.
Yeah, thank God, President Trump. I know that he is going to do good things, and it's going to take a long time, like you said, to correct this horrific plan that they have. What are some of the things that you're doing now? I know you're talking about a new movie. Because you, I really do feel like Sound of Freedom, your story, it pulled the veil back.
It
Everyone
did.
Then, all of a sudden, if that was just it, I mean, you've got
it
to feel
did.
Like, wow, God really used
God
this.
God did it.
Because it was like, hello, world, this is what's happening. And everybody went, oh, I know this was happening, kind of, sort of, but I watched it.
Yeah, the adversary did everything possible to keep that movie from coming out. God touched 100 million hearts. Now what we need to do is take that feeling and put it into action.
Right.
So what we have done over the last two decades, I've been working on almost to perfection, I mean, we're almost there, is the private-public model, right?
Okay,
I mean, when I was a special agent with the U.S. government, I always wished I had a bat phone that I could call and say, hey, I can't get through the bureaucracy on these two steps. Can you get this done? Can you go to this house? Can you infiltrate this brothel? It's so hard with the bureaucracy, right? So I got so fed up, that's why I left. I said, I'll be the bat phone. I want law enforcement to call me and my teams. We'll get done what they can't get done quickly. They do the part that we can't do, the judicial process, all that. And it works. Together, when we work together, we can infiltrate anything, go anywhere, and get anything done.
And united force.
And we proved that model. We've proved it over and over again, but we have a documentary coming out this summer called Hidden War. Hidden War.
Oh,
and
wow.
It documents a rescue that we did, the biggest one I've ever done. It's no actors, it's documentary.
So is this one that was not included in Sound of Freedom?
No, this is totally separate.
Yes.
It's a documentary.
But I mean, this situation didn't happen in Sound of Freedom. This is a whole new...
Totally separate, It started in the war in Ukraine. We went out to Ukraine to rescue the children in the middle of the war, orphans, who were left alone. We got thousands of them out, working with Aerial Recovery.
Wow.
That's the organization that I back 100% for operations. And then while we were out there, we found this trafficking organization out of Holland. And I won't spoiler alert it, but we end up running through 6 countries, 3 continents, dismantling the entire thing. And it ends in a child sex hotel in Ecuador, where we rescue hundreds of children who are being exploited for money, where you go buy a ticket and go have sex with a 10-year-old. But here's the key that I learned, because this group wasn't just a pedophile group or average trafficker. These guys had a political party in Holland, which means they have doctrines, agendas written up. And this comes from the 1950s, when this pedophilia movement kind of started to
grow
and actually institutionalize. And what I discovered was...
Pedophilia group institutionalized. Just when you say that, it just...
Yeah. Well, they've been trying since
the 50s. There's so much money in it. There's so much power in it.
So much money and power and lust.
Ugh.
And so...
Demonic, yeah.
You know, I started looking at their policy agendas. What did they want accomplished? They want to sexualize kids at a young age. They want to empower children over parents. In the 50s and 60s, they were saying, let children vote by age 12. What that really meant is give them power so that we can have sex with them without their parents getting in the way. and on and on. And then what I found out was as I studied and studied the pedophile agenda, I realized that it was almost a mirror image of the leftist agenda. Sexualize kids early, empower them over their parents, not over voting, but over the transvoiced,
right?
If a 13-year-old can tell mom, you can't stop me from cutting my genitalia off, what's going to stop that 13-year-old from saying, sure, I now identify as a 30-year-old,
right,
and I want to have sex with a 50-year-old pedophile?
Right.
And states like Washington, California, Oregon, shame on them.
They fell for it.
Yeah. And they think they're somehow glorified moms because they're allowing their children to not be depressed. Let me tell you something. The suicide rate goes up over the roof after they get their genitalia cut off.
I just,
surprise, surprise.
I just had Chloe sitting in the same seat a little bit earlier, and she was same thing. At 13, she made all these decisions.
It's unbelievable.
And the state pushed her,
right,
let her,
well, mom and
encouraged her.
Mom gets awards, and she's said she's a hero for what you're doing. You destroyed your child, but you're also doing the pedophile agenda.
Yeah.
And so what I want the left, the salvageable ones, to watch this story and understand, I'll get them to hate the pedophile agenda, and then the twist ending is, you're doing it.
Wow.
It's just been packaged in a nice, neat way that Satan likes to do to make you feel good and think you're doing good, but I promise you, you are on the side of the pedophiles, and when you die from this earth, you don't want to be on the side of pedophiles. And that's the message of Hidden War. So this
hidden
is not just
war.
About extractions and operations. It's about education. It's about exposing.
It's showing the rollout of it. It's
exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this is going to be an incredible movie because God's children are not for sale.
Absolutely. And
I mean,
God's given us the solutions and the right people in power like Trump and Holman. And I'm seeing the movement happening through Latin America. It's happening in Europe. I mean, there's a movement now.
Wow, that is a lot to take in. And right after this break, Tim's going to be back to give us some advice on how to protect our kids from traffickers. Plus, we'll get some intel from an expert on those bizarre drones that showed up over New Jersey last year. We'll be right back. Hi, moms. I'm excited to share some news about our new sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. We know you're passionate about raising patriots and empowering your children with the best education possible. And the Herzog Foundation shares that passion. They're dedicated to promoting liberty through education freedom and helping parents like you choose the best educational path. They offer a powerhouse of resources designed to support families and schools alike. Whether you're ready to dive in headfirst to the world of education or simply looking for more ways to empower your child's learning. From free training events to their must-read online publication, The Lion, they're committed to keeping you informed about what's happening in education. Also, if you've ever thought, moms, about starting your own Christian school or co-op, their School Box online course will give you everything you need to get started on the right foot. Again, we are so proud to partner with the Herzog Foundation, and we encourage you to explore all their amazing tools and the insights that they offer. So go ahead, visit herzogfoundation.com to learn more. You won't want to miss these incredible resources. Again, find it all out at herzogfoundation.com.
You know, I've never really felt comfortable sharing pictures of my kids on social media. Then I found Tubu, a premium social app with an actual authentic community. No bots, no one trolling me or my family. Just clean, wholesome content you can trust.
All right, welcome back, moms. Before we continue our interview here, we'd like to invite all of you to like, subscribe, and share the podcast with the moms in your circle. This is how we get our information out. Please do like, subscribe, and share. Also, if you have an idea or a topic or a guest, you can email me at podcast@momsforamerica.net. I would really love to hear from you. Lastly, I want to invite all of our moms listening to join the Moms for America movement. If you are not a part of our sisterhood or our motherhood, whatever you want to call that, you should join us at momsforamerica.us. We are the ultimate support group, and we are here for you, moms. We are uniting all across this country. We are fighting for faith, family, freedom, and the Constitution. So please check us out at momsforamerica.us and join the movement there.
Where is the U.S. as far as trafficking? Meaning, I hear like the borders are open, we bring the children in,
yeah,
we sell them here. Horrible, horrible, horrible.
Yeah.
What's happening in America with
the
American
same thing?
Kids?
Okay. I'll tell you. So there's hundreds of thousands of
missing
right. children, and they just call them runaways. No, it's not.
Right.
I'll tell you a case I'm working on right now. I'm going to change the location because it's ongoing. So foreigners come in, foreign traffickers. They bring in real good looking. Let's just say it's Fort Myers, Florida. It's not, but
okay.
And they come in, and these traffickers, they rent out Airbnbs. They bring in model-looking teenagers that go online, look for good-looking, troubled young girls, 14, 13, 15, or whatever. They find them, they know the signs, right? And we're working a case right now, just last week it started, where this beautiful family, very religious Christian family, their daughter just got rebellious, like daughters do, okay? I have some rebellious daughters, right? And they lost her phone privilege, so she went and got a burner phone. She got lured out by one of these real good-looking foreigner boys.
Come be something. Yeah. Come meet me.
They end up in an Airbnb, full of cash and Louis Vuitton this and Gucci that, picked up in fancy cars, and then she was told we're gonna go on to a yacht. I can't say much more because we're dismantling this right now with the police. But that's how they do it. Now, the only reason we rescued her was because her father, she had logged into the same apps on her burner phone that were on her original phone. So her father saved her life by grabbing that phone, tracking the Snapchat, taking screenshots because Snapchat disappears on purpose. That's why traffickers use it. It's as an auto delete.
That's why traffickers use Snapchat.
Careful on Snapchat. No, parents, don't let your kids have Snapchat. And so he was able to engage directly with the traffickers saying, we're after you, we're on to you. And so she later would say, they said I was too hot, there's too much emotion around me. So they left her in a park, drugged up. This is a high skill area in the United States. I'm not gonna say the name, but, and then if the police find her, and then, and I'll be honest, the police didn't know what to do. They just said, we found your runaway here. And luckily I was on the phone and said, No, this is not a runaway case. Get her to the hospital. Get her a rape kit. Let's get going. This is much deeper than you think. And since that time, we've dismantled 90% of it. We know who the bad guys are, where they are, how they're doing it. But this is how they're trafficking our kids. So when you hear the stat, 200, 300,000 runaways, no, they're likely in different parts of the world being raped for money.
Well, this is terrifying because I know that parents that are listening, the moms that are listening, if you have a rebellious child or an awkward teenager or a whatever, some kind of mental illness, right?
That's right.
Right? And they're
being
a
teenager on social media is a very hard thing. I didn't have to go
Right. They're in a challenging situation. The predators know how to get to the prey.
That's right.
And they're looking
they
for
know
those
exactly
signs,
what to do.
Either immodest on their Instagram. You can tell the way that they're speaking.
They know exactly what to find. And I can tell you as a trafficker, pedophile hunter,
right.
I can tell you that they know exactly what to look for. And I know what those things are.
So what do you tell the parents?
I'd say stay off. You've got to bring. There's two communication sources your kids need to learn from a young age: your parents and God.
Amen.
If they're not communicating regularly with their parents and God, then they're in trouble. That's their number one protection. So what I mean by that is God will touch them. God will talk to them, even in their most dark phases. But you've got to establish that early. Also, don't let your kids dress like sluts. Don't promote that.
And you know, dads need to
be the love of their lives.
Because when dad says, "Where are you going? What you wearing?"
That's right.
Oh no, it's not. The moms end up kind of wrestling with the girls a little bit, like no.
That's right.
The dads come in, they're like, no.
Yeah.
Not happening. Okay, go
you
ahead.
You also need to have a very strong communication with your kids.
Yeah.
So that when they see porn for the first time, and they masturbate for the first time, we can say that word. And I mean, my own boys, my wife and I were so, my wife especially, good at the communication that when those things happen, because they're going to happen, that they came to us and say, I just did this, I saw this, and we talked to them and say, look, here's the line of good and bad. Don't put your kid on the bad, bring him to the good and look at the bad together. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But you have to have a communication. Like my kids would come in and say things, my teenage boys, you know, things that I had done as a teenager, right? And I put my pillow over my face because I'm laughing so hard. But so grateful that my 15-year-old's coming and telling my wife, Mom, I just saw this and I did this. And then it's just like, we love you. Let me tell you the dangers about it.
Right.
and so you've got to keep those lines
open. Teach them. Use it as teachable moment.
Teach them. Don't be afraid of talking about masturbation and sex. And you've got to teach them so they don't learn it on the playground.
Right.
Or they don't learn it by some trafficker posing as a good-looking teenager online.
Right.
The other little trick I would suggest, but kids can't listen, is when you switch your kid's phone out and they want a new phone, give them a new phone. Look, I don't know about... My kids all get their phones when my wife tells them, when God tells my wife it's time. And it's been different ages. It's like some kids ready at 15, some kid might be ready at 12.
You're right.
Start with like a Gab phone.
Every child is different. Their maturity level, yes.
I'm not a proponent of taking phones away. That's like giving a kid at 18 a card and say, here you go. No, you got to teach them because they have to live in a world of social media and the internet. So don't block them. Teach them and teach them the right thing. Now, when you switch out a phone, keep the other phone and stay logged on.
Oh.
So you can be monitoring your kid. There's also most internet service providers, you can call them, and they can give parents tools to do that anyway.
Right.
Yeah, you're spying on your kids. Guess what? You're allowed to do that as a parent. Spy on your kids to keep them safe.
Right.
So yeah, you're gonna spy on your kids. Because you're protecting them, because they might not know what's going on.
Right.
So either call your internet service provider, and they can send you a daily reports, or even 2 days, a report, 2 days, and say where your kids are, where they've been. No Snapchat.
No Snapchat
disappears automatic. Don't let them go there. And make sure you know the apps. Most gaming have a communication platform that parents don't realize. They think they're just playing. Like when we were kids and you weren't playing Atari, you're playing against the computer. I can't believe how many smart parents don't realize their kids aren't playing the computer. They're playing maybe with some guy down the street who's a pedophile.
We have no idea.
Pretending to be a 12-year-old and grooming your child.
Right.
So parents got to know what's going on.
Establishing a relationship, and then somewhere along the way they try to meet them, or they get on the phone. I think we all worry that these things are going to happen, but we've got to be on the forefront. Exactly what you're saying to me. You got to stop it here because all of a sudden it progresses so fast.
I have a daughter I love to death. If we hadn't implemented these things, she'd probably be gone by now. Because we've caught her several times in these communications, and she just is innocent. She doesn't realize what she's doing.
Her and she has Tim Ballard as her father.
And I spy on her. I spy on her.
Right.
Yeah, and I've saved her life for doing it.
Right.
So that's how we, also the other rule in my house, all the chargers are right by my bed. If you want your phone charged, you're going to put it next to me and I'm going to watch it charge all night. And at 9 o'clock, your phones are turned in.
Oh, 100% my house.
And just put your chargers in your bedroom, in the master bedroom.
Yeah. You're the protector, you're the keeper.
That's right.
And you got to do it all. Thank you so much. Again, remind the audience again, the movie that's coming out.
Hidden War. We haven't started advertising quite yet. Hidden War, it's going to change the world. It's better than Sound of Freedom, and there's no actors. It's all real. You won't believe the story. And the lessons to be learned, I hope, are going to change the world.
Keep doing good work.
Thanks, Debbie.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for what you're doing.
Well, that was really some important information from Tim Ballard, and also some very hard information to listen to and to digest. But as Tim said, at least right now, we have the right people in place with President Trump and Tom Homan as our border czar, so kids are safer now. Next up is my interview with drone expert John Ferguson. He is the CEO at Saxon Aerospace, which manufactures custom remote aircraft. John's TikTok video went viral last December. You might have seen it, with his take on what those drones were all about. Here's my conversation with John.
Welcome officially to the Momster America podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, this is so interesting because everybody was all up in arms and still probably are, would like to get some answers about the whole drone hysteria.
Yeah.
Clearly. I mean, because people were unsettled by it. And your background, tell me a little bit about your background first, because it's not like you're coming in here with that you have a little drone in your backyard. You're much more of an expert.
Yeah, so I was in the Marine Corps. I was a reconnaissance scout swimmer in the Marines. I got out, went into deep sea diving. So I was a deep sea diver for a while. Then I went back to school and I got into piloting submersible vehicles. I traveled over 80 countries around the world piloting submersibles. And then around the 2013 timeframe, I realized that the drones were going to be a big deal. So I sold my Harley and bought my first drone.
Wow, that's quite the train, yeah.
Yeah, and I thought, nah, I can do better than this. And so I started manufacturing aircraft. And now my company, we manufacture aircraft for DOD contractors and countries around the world.
For for the Department of Defense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So, and this isn't little drones. I mean, this is.
No.
What is, how big do these drones get?
My biggest drone is 14 feet in wing length. The new drone that I'm coming out with is going to be 16 feet. And then we have the multi-copter type drones that are about 3 feet in diameter, roughly.
Wow. So, you know, the drone.
Yeah.
You know, you're a drone expert, I guess, could be part of your portfolio. So the first place that the drone started appearing, was it in New Jersey?
Yes, New Jersey.
Okay, so what was happening there? Because we kind of caught up with this, you know, it happened and then everybody was like, what's going on? So what actually started happening in Jersey?
I started seeing all of the reports about all of these drones flying over people's houses, and people were getting angry about flying these aircraft over their houses at night.
And they're large. They're larger.
And they're large drones. You know, they're, you know, a couple $200,000 or $300,000 drones each, right?
Wow.
And so I saw this unfolding and I thought that was really strange.
Weird. Yeah.
Right? But then I started hearing all of these elected officials coming out saying they're Chinese operatives, they're flying out of the water, they're coming from an Iranian flagship. And I just thought, oh, my God. Our elected officials are saying that? That's what we elected?
Right. And this is still under the Biden administration. So,
yes.
You know, so now
yes.
None of us can trust anything. We don't know what's going on.
Exactly.
Clearly.
Exactly.
So, yeah, all these rumors started flying. And again, social media is a place where kind of this all, I'll say, festers, but it's where we get it. It's good and bad.
Yeah.
You then, you do your first TikTok?
Yeah, I just felt compelled to do a video, and I'm like, where could I do a video? And so I made this TikTok video.
I remember watching this.
Yeah, and so I screwed it up, and then I went back and did it again, and it was like, well, that sucks, but I'm gonna post it anyway. I thought maybe I'd get like 1,000 views or maybe 500, whatever. And then it just went everywhere. But I just wanted to give everyone a technical reason as to why they're not Chinese. And under the Biden administration, it's the worst foreign policy in the history of the United States. I mean, a bunch of clowns in the White House, and they're regurgitating all of this crap. And I just felt like that people deserve better.
Okay, so tell us about the video. What did you, I mean, I remember watching it, and then I remember it was everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, even Rogan, right?
Yeah, he had retweeted that,
I mean, so this, people were like, could be something interesting here from your perspective. What was your message on that? Make it simple for us, though, because we're not drone experts.
Yeah, so what I had stated in the video is that unmanned aircraft have no reason to fly at night unless you're looking for something very specific. You can use thermal imaging to find search and rescue victims or intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance, looking for bad guys. You can do gas leak detection at night, but you want to fly when you're sampling parts per million on the ground. You want to fly when the winds are calmer, the pressures are lower, and you'll get a better sample. You'll get a better sample of what you're looking for.
Okay.
Now, I've been working with two gentlemen for the past year to try to keep a nuclear warhead from coming into the United States.
Just this is like on your side job now. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, well, all of this stuff I don't do for money.
Right.
You know.
So you're kind of now working at. So this all connects.
It all connects. So back in the 80s and the 90s, Ronald Reagan and Gorbachev tore down the nuclear missile program, and that was great. But what they didn't do is have oversight. And so General LaBeouge oversight of the nuclear reduction.
Okay.
So General LaBeouge, you can Google it, General LaBeouge had taken 132 of these nuclear warheads, put them into the black market, and then he was assassinated. And so the gentleman that I was that I've been working with was standing in the room with one of the nuclear warheads, and it's a suitcase-sized nuclear warhead. Now, people say, how in the world can you sneak a nuclear warhead into the United States?
That's my question,
yes. And my rebuttal was, well, how can you sneak 40 million illegal aliens into the country over the past 4 years? If you can sneak in 40 million plus people, you can sneak in a suitcase.
Or how many hundreds of thousands of missing children?
And I do a lot to fight human and child sex trafficking as well.
It sounds incomprehensible.
It seems absolutely ridiculous.
It does. I mean, obviously, there's issues, clearly. So so continue.
They approached me and said, hey, we're not getting anywhere. The Biden administration keeps slamming the door in our face. You have somewhat of a political footprint. You can get to people. Can you help us? I said, sure. So I called the Biden administration, and I got door slammed in my face.
Sure.
And I thought, you know what? I'm not going to take this crap. The American people deserve more than this. So I made the video thinking I could get to 1,000 people. And then it got over 500 million views across all the platforms. And Joe Rogan and Patrick Bet-David, Tudor Dixon, all of these wonderful podcasters, the Canadian Prepper, all of these people had done these stories on, and it just went everywhere.
I remember someone said, just like HMMMMM, dot, 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 like, interesting.
But the thing is that people just, they can't take away my experiences, right? And you would think that it would get better, but it's only getting worse. So we know that the warhead that is inside the United States is a 20 kiloton nuclear warhead.
Okay.
We don't know if it's been serviced or not. They have to service them every 7 to 10 years. If you don't service them over the 7 to 10 years, then they become kind of like dirty bombs, and that doesn't do that much good, as far as cataclysm is concerned. But we also know that the Ukrainians have one that's a 5 kiloton nuclear warhead that is being serviced and is to be sent over to take out Putin.
Wow.
And Putin knows this. This isn't breaking news for him, right?
Right.
He knows this. So
the bad guys are always trying to.
But what better way to start a war between Russia and the United States than lighting off a couple of nukes and blaming it on each other? And that's what these were supposed to do. And we also.
So the drones were actually doing what then?
So you can go on the internet and buy a sensor and put on your drone, and you can go and detect radioactive material. And that's what I said they were probably more than likely doing.
You used the word sniff.
Yes, because we're sampling parts per million on the ground. And that's kind of it's kind of a layman's term for taking samples on the ground, and that's sniffing. We would sniff for gas leaks.
Oh.
We would sniff for radioactive material.
So more drones came.
Yeah.
And they were kind of everywhere. Was this part of this, or were these copycats, or was this, where did it starts here, and it seemed like it just exploded.
It did. There were hundreds, if not thousands, of these large drones, and everybody was saying they're Chinese and Iranian and all this other crap, and I was like, no, they're ours, because they have nav lights on them, they're trying to avoid air traffic, they're really trying to follow FAA guidelines, and so you cannot fly a drone in the airspace without the FAA knowing about it on a commercial level.
That's what everybody was asking. How could this be?
So they know about it. The FAA knew about it. They know about it. The administration knows about it. Everybody knows about it. But they're just not telling the American people because, President Trump was going to come out and disclose all of this stuff. But as he got into office, he probably had the powers that be would probably say, Mr. President, you might want to not say so much about this right now, because if he were to say they're sniffing for radioactive material, you would evacuate the entire eastern seaboard, and you don't want to do that.
Okay, well, here's the other question that I have. All the drone talk, no drones. No.
They're still flying.
Okay, because nobody's talking about them. Yeah. Nobody's recording them anymore.
But that's what I had said on one of the videos, one of the follow-up videos that I did. I said, the American people, they're going to get fed a lie from the Biden administration, and they're going to go, that sounds pretty good, and then they're going to forget about it, and it's going to fall out of the news cycle, which is exactly what has happened. But I'm still getting reports that although they have drifted off somewhat, they're still flying. They're still out there. I'm still getting reports even today. So yes, but that's what the American people have allowed this to turn into, is just a big nothing burger. And so my goal was to teach the American people that if we stand up and we stand together and not fight and bicker, we can send a message to DC saying, look, you are our are elected officials. You will answer my questions because we put you in office. And I believe I did that on a small scale. I believe I've united the country a little bit to stand up and fire that message across the Biden administration, because then he would come up with another lie. And then these wonderful news agencies would have me on board and do another series on my thoughts, and I would debunk everything that the Biden administration was out there regurgitating. And so then they would have to come up with another story. So, you know, the American people deserve better.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. What's your takeaway? What's your message, you know?
My message is exactly that. Even though we're conflicted, and we're divided as a country on our political levels and a lot more levels, you know, we are still the ones who put these people in office here in D.C., and I'm going to run for office hopefully here in 26, and I want to make sure that when people ask questions, they get the truth. And if it's a covert operation and you can't tell the American people because of the fear, then you have to level with the population, with the Americans at some level.
Yeah.
You have to give us the truth because we put you in office.
Right.
We will take you out of office.
Yeah.
We'll vote you out.
And thank God President Trump's in, and I think they're going to...
Yeah.
They're rolling it all out. I mean, he's doing some great things.
Absolutely.
What are you expecting to hear from him regarding maybe some of this?
I actually don't expect him to say much more about this because I don't think he can.
Okay.
You know, and again, people were really pissed about all of these drones. And you know what? It is ominous to have, unmanned aircraft flying over your house without your permission. It's ominous. We have laws against that for commercial. But what would you rather have? Would you rather have drones flying over your home, or would you have some type of cataclysmic event happen because you didn't allow drones to fly over your home?
Right.
It's your choice.
Well, the problem was none of us knew what was going on. And that was the unsettling part.
And you never will.
There you go. Well, thank you for sharing with us.
You're welcome.
At least we've got some insight to this and your take on it. So thank you, John.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, thank you, Tim. Thank you, John, for joining us on the podcast. Some very interesting conversations with both of them. You can follow John on TikTok. And then for Tim Ballard, you can keep an eye out for his documentary called Hidden War that's coming out soon. All right, moms, as always, thanks for being a part of this program. We're so delighted that you join us every week. Like, share, subscribe, tell your moms about Moms for America. Join the movement at momsforamerica.us. We are here for you. We have everything from parental rights to public policy, from the kitchen table to Congress. Yes, Moms for America has it all. All issues are mom issues, and we are the ultimate support group for you, mom. So let's keep changing our country one home at a time. I will see you next week, and thank you for joining us. A special thank you to our sponsors, the Herzog Foundation and Tuvu. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Herzog Foundation.